2 weeks ago, before I went away on a short vacation, I wanted to make sure that Doris, our parish administrator, had all she needed to start this Sunday's bulletin before I came back. So I started my typical sermon writing routine early. I read the lessons, opened up my commentaries and other scholarly works. I wrote a reflection for the back of the bulletin and fired up a few podcasts to get a taste of what others were saying about today's text. So with all my creative juices well lubricated, I had a mental outline for my sermon, matched it with an appropriate title, and sent it Doris's way. But when I came back from vacation, looked at the drafted bulletin, and saw my sermon title, White Rapids, I have no idea why I picked that title. In just a few short days, while I was out of state in a new place and a new context, I came back having lost a sermon that I originally drew up. I lost that memory for a sermon that I'll never get to share. That kind of loss of a memory, that loss of a story, is evident in our text from the Gospel according to Luke today. Jesus, in chapter 12 and 13, is teaching to a large crowd. He talks about God, about faith, about loving others, and every time he speaks, he adds these little stories, these parables, to illustrate a point about God and love. And today's reading from chapter 13 matches this pattern. Jesus is in the crowd when he receives word about something incredibly violent. Pilate, the Roman governor of Jerusalem, has killed Galileans, people from Jesus' own neighborhood, and mixed their blood with sacrifices to other gods. Jesus takes this story and adds to it, pointing to another catastrophe where people were killed when a building, the Tower of Siloam, collapsed. We today don't know anything more about these stories. We don't know who Pilate killed, why he did it, or what sacrifices he performed. We also don't even know exactly where the Tower of Siloam was. We just know it was in Jerusalem. But these were events that people around Jesus knew. When the Gospel according to Luke was written a few generations later, people still remembered what Pilate's sacrifices and the Tower of Siloam were. There were no needs for details to be remembered. And it's like today, if we say 9/11, we know what we're talking about. Or if I hear the word Columbine, I'm instantly launched back to my high school self, sitting in my high school cafeteria, watching TVs, showing students just a few miles away from me, running from that high school shooting. There are events and catastrophes that we just know. We don't need to describe them to relive our experiences of that time, that event, or its aftermath. All we need to do is just say their name. And that's what Jesus is doing here today. He's taking catastrophes that everyone knew, that everyone had an emotional response to, and he's bringing them to the front. And once we're reinvested, once we relive those catastrophes, Jesus then repeats this one line. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Two incidences of death, one sponsored by the government, the other tragic and random. Two groups of people killed, not because they were more evil than others or they disobeyed God more than anyone else. They were just there when death happened. So Jesus gives a warning to repent, a warning to turn back to God and wrap their minds around this God who is speaking to them right now. But I don't think that this story is Jesus telling the crowd that he has a way for them to escape the end. Jesus isn't selling them a new prescription or a new technology or a new way of life that will allow them to sidestep death. Jesus is pointing out that dying is part of life, and a death can show up quickly, unexpectedly, and without rhyme or reason. Death happens, but life happens too. Jesus today isn't offering us a way to run away from death. Jesus instead is offering a chance at life. A life right now. Because if death is part of our reality, then life should be too. In the face of catastrophes, in the face of tragedies that shouldn't happen, God's response isn't to run and hide. God's response is to bring life. A life that matters, a life that makes a difference, a life that sees evil, pain, and death, but still loves the world anyways. A life that lives, a life that loves, that's what Jesus points to. That's what bearing fruit is all about. Fruit is pretty to look at. It smells nice and looks good as a centerpiece in a table. But if no one's eating it, if no one is enjoying it, if no one grows stronger and better because of it, that fruit isn't doing what fruit is designed to do. But this life that loves, this life that bears fruit, we know it can't happen on its own. A life that bears fruit for others needs God too. A life that matters needs what God can provide, like a community that's committed to praying for each other, committed to knowing each other, committed to caring for each other when a crisis strikes. A life that makes a difference needs a God who offers everything, even the building blocks of God's own Son, to those who live in this world. A life that loves needs a Savior who will always be with us, offering us nourishment, help, and His presence. Our spiritual and physical manure that can feed our roots as we go out to love a world as much as God loves us. 2,000 years from now, if some future archaeologist stumbles on a recording of this sermon locked on some dusty old web server somewhere, the words 9/11 and Columbine might mean the same to them as Pilate's sacrifices and the Tower of Siloam mean to us. But the life Jesus gives us is the same life given to them. We all have the opportunity to see the world, to see its evil, its pain, its death, and love anyways. That's our eternal calling. That's part of this gift of new life that's given to us, not because we're perfect or great, or because we'll always remember every single prayerful thought that God gives us. No, this life is ours because Jesus didn't run from death. He went to the cross and gave us, gave everyone, gave this entire world a life that doesn't just live by running away from death. Instead, God gave us a life that can love. And if Christ gives us a life that loves, how can we do anything but? Amen.